Hello, I'm Russell Rowland, author of 56 Counties, A Montana Journey. A few years ago, I visited every county in our state and interviewed people from all walks of life. I then read dozens of books about the history of Montana and the West. I wanted to explore what it means to be from Montana, how it impacts the people here. This program is a continuation of that conversation. I'm talking to people about how Montana has shaped them and what they are doing to shape Montana. Welcome to 56 Counties. Missoula County has developed a reputation as the most progressive county in the state, due in large part to the University of Montana, which focuses on liberal arts. But like most of Montana, Missoula has a complicated history. During World War II, Fort Missoula served as a prison for more than 2,000 immigrants who were considered a threat to national security. And because most of Missoula's economy was first dependent on logging and mining, this county also has a complex relationship with the environment. But they've often been on the cutting edge of addressing these issues. Missoula was once filled with teepee burners, huge metal teepees designed to burn the wood waste from the logging operations. The smoke from these teepees became such a problem that the locals demanded action, and the teepees were eventually banned. One of the country's largest Superfund sites is also located in Missoula County at the Milltown Dam, built by Copper King William Clark to provide electricity for the local sawmills. After this dam collected runoff from the Anaconda Company's mining operations for decades, complaints from local residents finally convinced the EPA to investigate the quality of the water, and a cleanup has been underway since 1992. For this episode, I'm breaking my routine of interviewing two people in order to explore the diversity that has come to define Missoula, which is sometimes called Berkeley, Montana. Charlie McCorn is a stand-up comedian who grew up in Deer Lodge, Montana.
So you talk about your sexuality and your act quite a bit.
I do. Yeah. It does kind of come up, especially, you know, as a Montanan, when I'm, you know, performing outside of the state. I'm someone who sounds like this.
Yeah.
And I'm someone wearing a dress, and I'm talking about being from Montana.
Mm.
You know, and
yeah.
And I like to introduce my shows by saying, hello, my name is Charlie McCorn. I'm from Montana. And I know I'm the first Montanan a lot of you are seeing right now. And we all look exactly like this. Every single one of us.
That's great.
We're a bunch of ugly women with beautiful voices.
That's great.
Gabi Rappaport teaches screenwriting at the University of Montana.
Yeah, I lived in this suburb called Southfield, which was like, so if Eminem grew up on 8 Mile, I grew up on 11 Mile, right? So that puts it in perspective.
Yeah.
It was a culture shock. I mean, in my mind, it's like there were 5,000 kids. I have no idea how many kids there were.
Mm-hmm.
The most embarrassing story of my life just came into my mind. I really don't want to tell it on the radio, but I'll just say, since it came into my mind. I remember like a huge lunch line, and going up to every girl and saying, do you have a best friend? You know, I was like 10 years old or 11 years old, whatever I was.
Judy Klukas worked for the state for 30 years and grew up in Billings, where her grandparents owned the New Moon Cafe, a Chinese restaurant that opened in the 1950s.
There must not have been very many Chinese people in Billings at that time, right?
No, the only other family of Chinese people were the ones that owned Wong Village.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Huh.
They were one of the original Chinese families there.
Uh-huh.
So there weren't very many of us.
No. Yeah. Huh. And what was that like?
Well, it's kind of interesting because I, at a very young age, did not identify as Chinese.
Sure.
So much.
Right.
I spent most of my time, as a very young child, I spent most of my time with my father.
Mm.
Because he was self-employed and often was home during the daytime, and my mother worked to help bring in, you know, the income that we needed. So I spent all my time with him doing things that he liked to do, like go to the auctions. And sometimes I'd go with him to his job sites where he painted houses. And so I think I didn't really consider myself so much Chinese because we didn't spend much time with my mother's family.
Right.
Although when we finally did start spending time with them, I always would kind of think to myself, we're just not like they are.
Oh, is that right? That's,
I thought they were a little odd.
Erica Peterman is a lawyer and photographer whose father was a Lutheran minister.
You know, my dad, I think, was in the ministry for social justice reasons. And so growing up for me in the church was a really positive thing.
Like, yeah.
I still have good friends from the church. And I think the Lutheran church was really positive. And, you know, obviously growing up in the church, when you're the pastor's kid, everybody's pretty nice to you.
Yeah, right.
But I also think that organized religion can be a really good thing. And I think that it definitely shaped who I was.
Charlie McCorn.
Yeah, I would say that in hindsight, there were a lot of things throughout my life. Some of the struggles that I went through, some of the ways I would react to things, and some of the things that I had, I guess, some time to meditate on as a child, that in hindsight, obviously sort of pointed to me, you know, not being what everyone thought I was and being different than everyone else.
Did other people notice that? Did you pick up on it?
My mom definitely did, because she kept catching me wearing her clothing.
Oh.
Gabi Rappaport.
I don't want my kids to grow up in a place where they think that what they see in the mirror is the only thing, you know?
That's, yeah.
So I have to be really proactive in my parenting, and I'm very separated from Judaism. That's been a really complicated relationship for me, and so I haven't been able to give them that either. And you know.
So what have you found here in Missoula as far as your connection to your Judaism?
Well, I've tried a lot of things over the years to kind of reconcile that inside myself. I mean, being Jewish is, you know, like being indigenous. It's like being African American. It is in my blood. There isn't anything. It is a culture, not just a religion. And so I cannot get away from that.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
And, you know, that's been a blessing and a curse. I tried the synagogue in Billings. And because of the personal experience that I had, you know, I have not attempted to do that here.
Mm.
But I did connect with the Chabad rabbi here. It's not the same rabbi now. A new one just came. And that's the other thing, is that, like, connection, leadership in organized religion here, where Judaism is concerned, is next to nil. I mean, there's in my experience, there's student rabbis that come in and come out, but it's hard to have spiritual leadership if that position is always changing.
Right, without some consistency.
You know, someone's there for a year, 2 years. I mean, how invested am I really going to be? How invested are they going to be in my life or my kids' lives?
Judy Klukas.
I worked for the state of Montana.
Okay.
So I worked quite a while for the state crime lab.
Mm.
And then when I left the state crime lab, I became an investigator with the child support enforcement.
Oh, okay. Wow, that must have been intense.
It was.
Yeah.
Extremely stressful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How long did you do that?
The last job that I was at, I was there for almost 12 years.
Oh, wow.
And I was with the crime lab for about 14 years.
Okay. Did you have some satisfaction with it too, or?
Yeah, it was a very satisfying job. I loved the job itself. It was the, what I call politics of just being a government worker.
Yeah, all the bureaucracy.
It was difficult, yeah.
Sure.
New rules and regulations, it seemed, every week, and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
But and it was that type of job where you work a lot with families, with parents who don't get along, and with the children that suffer because of that, and then their attorneys get involved.
Erica Peterman.
So that social justice background probably was instrumental in your decision to go to law school then?
I wish that I had that much thought going through my, deep thought going through my head when I was 22 and I decided to go to law school. No, I think I didn't know what I was doing with my life when I was 22 or 23. I was living in Seattle, and Seattle was too much of it. I liked it out there, but it was too much of a city for me. I didn't like having to drive for 45 minutes just to go for a hike. I still, loved Missoula and I love Montana. And so I think that going to law school for me was a way to stay in Missoula for 3 years, not make a decision about the rest of my life because I would be in school. And, I think it was ultimately a Montana decision. And there were certain parts that appealed to me. I thought, being a trial attorney would be great. It seemed to suit me and maybe my personality, but,
that turned out not to be the case.
No, I did. I was a litigator for a while, and I think I could have done well as a litigator, but I don't like the lifestyle of a litigator. Mm-hmm. You're working all the time. It's really stressful. You're constantly at odds with other attorneys and sometimes your own clients, and I didn't like that part. Definitely outweighed the part of effectively advocating for people in court. Mm-hmm. So.
Charlie McCorn.
How has your relationship with your parents been with all this?
It was a struggle for my parents, and I think continues to be a struggle, quite honestly. I came up to my mom right when I was having that breakdown that ended, that sort of put me in the hospital. It was sort of that, and what happened was I was talking to my mom, and I had a breakdown, and my mom's a very religious person.
Oh.
And she was coming out at me very religious with some of the struggles I was having for my depression, and that sort of led to that point. And she said, God has a plan for you. Don't you believe that? And I said, Mom, I don't believe in God. And I said some very nasty things, and I'm not proud of them.
Yeah.
And so we didn't talk for a while, and then my mom calls me and says, I'm sorry about that. I didn't know how to react to that. Mm. I need you to know that if there's anything you need to tell me about yourself, you can tell me at any time.
Wow.
And so I said, okay, Mom, well, I'm having this feeling that I was born in the wrong body. Mm. And I believe that I'm a woman, and I need to fix that. And then we didn't talk for like 18 months.
Mm.
And we reconnected, and I love my mom. But it's just something in my life my parents and I, we just don't talk about.
Right.
Which is, it's kind of hurtful for me.
Yeah, sure.
My brother is very understanding and
oh, really?
Very, very open.
That's cool.
Yeah, he's my biggest supporter.
Older brother?
Younger.
Younger brother?
4 years younger than I am. But my parents and I, we just don't talk about it.
Hmm. Yeah, that's got to be difficult.
Yeah.
Gabi Rappaport.
I know certainly there are families and individuals in Montana that have experienced a lot of trauma, and so here's something small, but there are flyers that are put on cars, anti-Semitic flyers that are put on cars on this campus.
Oh, really?
At least twice a year it happens.
Wow.
And that has it is an affront. It is shocking and is scary.
Yes.
And really, truthfully, in the grand scheme of things, that's nothing.
Right.
But and I'm a pretty
just like an underlying
right.
Yeah.
And there is that, which does bring that fear, being a non-traditional student in college, a non-traditional student with a big mouth in college, who's unafraid.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I've had experiences like that in class, I'm not afraid in this arena, I guess, because this is an arena where my brain is valued and
right.
where I can... bring about awareness with my words in a different way than
right.
outside academia. Cool. So yeah.
You're listening to 56 Counties on Yellowstone Public Radio, and for this episode I'm talking to several longtime residents of Missoula County. Aside from Bozeman, Missoula is the fastest growing city in Montana and is now the second largest city behind Billings. It also offers some of the richest cultural experiences available in Montana, with the Missoula Art Museum and several top-notch galleries, including the newly remodeled Radius Gallery. Missoula offers a very active farmers market during the summer and has hosted the Montana Book Festival for over 20 years. This rapid growth has also led to some growing pains. Judy Klukas.
If you had any observations about Missoula as far as things that you would like to change, what would that be?
I have to be honest, I don't love that it's getting so big that so many people are moving in.
The traffic has been horrible.
Horrible. Yeah, I understand why they're really promoting Missoula and trying to get people to move here when they explain it. I understand their viewpoint.
Sure.
But Missoula doesn't seem to have the infrastructure to handle that many new people.
Yeah.
We have always really loved our public lands, and we're going to have to start giving those up in order to accommodate all the people that want to move in here. Either that or they're going to just get more and more high-rise condos and things, which I don't really like that idea.
Sure. Yeah, Missoula's been able to avoid that for quite a while. So. Yeah.
Charlie McCorn.
See, I moved here in 2005, so I'd say my big view on Missoula is that there are parts of Missoula that are definitely changing faster than others. Mm-hmm. There are definitely buildings going up in places that don't look like they belong there. Mm-hmm. And I know that that's sort of a residential thing to say, like that's not what I remember being here, but the price for housing we see in like Bozeman, for example, and we see the things kind of building up there. There are definitely areas of Missoula that are becoming more expensive than the people around them can afford, I think. Mm-hmm. It's not as bad. I've been able to sort of keep, going in a series of, shared apartments and houses, for pretty cheap for a while, but they're kind of disappearing, and people who make less than me, people down, lower on the economic totem pole, being pushed out of the city towards sort of the extremes there. I've noticed that. Mm-hmm. I definitely noticed the city itself has definitely become a lot more, I would say, diverse. There's a lot more diversity in Missoula since I moved here. Mm-hmm. I mean, not with any level of diversity of, when people outside of Montana say diversity, obviously.
Right.
But definitely people from different walks of life, different parts of the country, different parts of the world even. Mm-hmm. And now there's people like me walking around, which I think is good and forward movement. I think Missoula in general, we like to pretend that we're better than everyone else, despite us having some real problems that we don't really address.
Erica Peterman.
I mean, I think it's that Missoula is highly political and people get upset about things that I would never get upset about or never write a letter to the editor about or never, people complain about. Like, it was a big deal when there was a Starbucks that was going in downtown.
Oh.
And people would write letters to the editor and get upset about it. And, Starbucks is, it's a big corporation, but they also provide healthcare and they do a lot of cool things and
pay for tuition for their
employees. Exactly. And there aren't other businesses that, comparable businesses weren't doing that. And so I think that, like, to me, the things that Missoulians should be getting upset about aren't always the things that they are getting upset about. But, that said, I would rather have a town that gets fired up about things than a town that's passive.
Yeah, I agree with that for sure, yeah.
Gabi Rappaport.
Well, we just got the Media Act passed also, which is going to do which is going to do amazing things for filmmaking in Montana. Filmmaking is really a blue-collar industry. I mean, miners that are losing jobs because we want to stop killing the environment, they can come here to the University of Montana that we're starting to think about and develop some certificate programs that can ensure quality crews when outside people come in to make movies. We want that money to go into Montana, into Montana jobs, and there are electricians, and there are tons of blue collar jobs.
In 2014, the Community Medical Center in Missoula reached a sales agreement with the Billings Clinic and a Tennessee-based hospital management group. As part of this sale, a foundation was born with the initial endowment of $100 million. The Headwaters Foundation has since been finding ways to reach out to 15 different counties in western Montana to find worthy recipients of grants for organizations that are doing good works, especially in the area of health care and care for children. Brenda Solarzano is the CEO of the Headwaters Foundation.
It's actually a really funny story because they hired a headhunter to go out and find somebody. And when the headhunter first called me, I said, no.
Yeah.
Where is Montana
anyway? Yeah.
And I had to look on the map.
What state is that in?
Yeah.
That's what my Uber driver asked me the other day.
Yeah. No.
What state is Montana?
I was like, I know it's up there somewhere, but yeah. I had no idea. And I said no forever. Mm. I never imagined myself living in Montana. And then it was one of these serendipitous things where things just come together. I had just ended a leadership program where you were tasked with developing a personal and professional plan of what you wanted to do with the rest of your career. They kind of take mid-career people. And I wrote this plan of, like, if I ever got to run a foundation, this is what I would do. And then at the last minute, the headhunter said, come on, just do it one more time. Like, you know, just consider it one more time, you know, come and interview. And I was like, okay, I'll just do it.
Yeah.
More because I was trying to keep the relationship warm with the headhunter than like I really thought I was going to come. Mm. But then because I had that plan, when they asked me, what would you do? I was like, well, I have a plan, you know? And I remember when I landed in Missoula, I was like, there's no way I'm living here. Like, it was winter. It was December.
Yeah.
Oh.
It was cold. It was like
all
the black, slushy ice everywhere. Nobody was out on the streets. I'm like, uh-uh. And then when I got back on the plane to go home that afternoon, I was like, uh-oh. Mm-hmm. You know, this is exactly what my plan is. And so then ended up, you know, kind of having a radical shift of like,
it just fit too well.
I guess I have to do this.
Yeah.
Judy Klukas.
Woody, how do you think Montana has affected you as a person? How do you think it's shaped your worldview?
Montana actually, I think, is totally responsible for forming me as a person. Mm. I'd say the number one thing about myself growing up is something that even my dad noticed. This was that I was seemed to be very adventuresome and fearless.
Mm.
And I think it was just the environment that I was raised in, the whole atmosphere of Montana and Montana as a whole, the things that we're able to do here. We, as children, my dad would take us camping every weekend. And we'd go into Yellowstone Park, down into Wyoming, or up to Glacier Park, and all the different campsites and fishing. He loved to fish.
Mm.
So we did that every weekend, and
yeah,
I loved it. I had a babysitter whose husband owned a junkyard, and that's where I would play all the time.
Oh, really? Wow.
One of my favorite places to play was on this old covered wagon.
Oh, wow.
From the pioneer days, and that was one of the my favorite things was crawl all over that and pretend that I was, you know, whipping the horses, and I was going somewhere, you know, in the old west.
Charlie McCorn.
Tell me about coming out is probably, there's probably no better place in Montana than Missoula.
Yeah, I would say so too.
But I'm sure it's also been a struggle at times. So what, have you had any bad experiences with all that?
Well, I would say comedy-wise, I am very lucky, and sometimes I do forget that performing in Missoula for Missoula audiences is not like performing for, let's say, Lolo audiences. I've been threatened with violence in Great Falls. I did a show in Great Falls that was kind of right on the razor's edge there for a little bit. Everything worked out fine.
Mm.
But yeah, there's some people who just, you know, in a state of a million people, they're not quite, some of them just can't understand how to share it, I guess.
Yeah.
Which is, it's frustrating. I know my experiences haven't been as negative. I mean, as other people, and obviously in decades past and in years past, it hasn't been as easy for people like me in Montana or anywhere. I'm not saying that it's easy now, but it's better and it's easier, and I'm very happy to be that part of Montana.
Yeah.
Erica Peterman.
About 9 or 10 years ago, I went through a divorce, and I sold my wedding ring, and I bought a camera, and just started shooting all the time. And I think when I started taking photos, I realized that it was like this way that I had always seen the world, but had never had any way to capture it. And started getting hired to take photos, and have been doing that in addition to practicing law for the last, I guess, 6 or 7 years. Mm-hmm. I worked for a firm based out of Seattle and did all of their Montana work, so I was able to work from home and have a pretty flexible schedule and also do a lot of shooting. And but I was living these very separate worlds where I would know other attorneys or even judges who didn't have any idea that I had this other side of my life,
oh,
and
sure.
vice versa, which was kind of weird. Mm-hmm. So in the last year, about a year and a half ago, the firm in Seattle closed, and so I was left with that side of my income, which was always helpful. This other woman in town, Jen Nguyen, she worked for Max Baucus for a long time, and then she worked for a big firm based out of Milwaukee that had a firm here, and a couple months after my firm closed, her firm closed their Missoula office, and I thought, and we both thought, that it might work for us to do, because we both had kind of non-traditional legal paths. She had done a lot of consulting and been corporate counsel. I had done a lot of political photography and other business photography and had traveled around Montana meeting with people and businesses quite a bit. And so we thought maybe we could combine and do kind of traditional legal work, but helping businesses and helping entrepreneurs, and also doing creative consulting and more legal consulting and business consulting. Mm-hmm. And that I could also put my photography under kind of the creative side.
Oh, okay.
And so it was a way to basically put my life under one roof. And it's worked out well. Like, there's businesses that I will do legal work for and consulting with, and then I'll also do photos for that business.
That's great.
Yeah.
That you're able.
Brenda Solarzano.
I came here right after the elections, and I was worried about what's it going to be like for a person of color to go into a state like Montana.
Absolutely.
And travel into the rural areas. Not a problem.
Hasn't been a problem.
Not an issue. And people will say to me when I tell them that back in the Bay Area, well, that's because you're the CEO of Foundation. Of course,
right.
They're going to be nice to you. And I said, yeah, the people that I'm meeting with, but when I was traveling or when I travel, I have to stay at hotels, I have to go to restaurants, I have to go to gas station, I have to, you know, mm-hmm. and I'm not wearing a little, like, hat.
CEO hat.
CEO.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've been in philanthropy 20 years, and I've done it the traditional way of, I know what I'm going to do, I know who I'm going to hire, I know who I'm going to fund, and I'm going to tell everybody, like, turn into a pretzel if you want to get my money, but you got to do what I want you to do. And it doesn't work. It doesn't work in Montana. I don't think it would work in Montana. And I don't think it's worked any of the other places I've worked in. And the opportunity to come here and I often tell my board, we're turning philanthropy on its head.
Cool.
We're not going to have RFPs. We're not going to have bureaucratic processes. We're not going to, you know, make people do what we think they need to do.
Mm-hmm.
We're not just going to be a checkbook. We're going to be more than just a charitable foundation.
Yeah.
I mean, you need all those things, but that's not who we are. We're going to be different. And that's pretty, I feel pretty lucky that the board said, yeah, let's do that.
Absolutely.
You've been listening to 56 Counties. 56 Counties is produced by Russell Rowland for Yellowstone Public Radio. The music is written and performed by Aaron Parrott. Additional funding is provided by the Greater Montana Foundation, encouraging communication on issues, trends, and values of importance to Montanans. More information and archived episodes are available at ypradio.org. Listen in again on the first Monday of each month for 56 Counties.